Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the big book on page 102 in the chapter Working with Others. We'll be reading and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, "Many of us keep liquor in our homes," and ends, "ought to decide for ourselves." Today's readers are for the 12 steps, Laura W., the 12 traditions, Patty F. Readers of the text, Kara L. and Chanel T. Our backup is Vanessa G. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and announcements will be given by Robin P. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, June 9th, for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,507. That's 22507. And for this morning, Tuesday, June 10th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,509. That's 22509. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Laura W. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, everyone. Laura W. from Chicago here, and I'm a compulsive eater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. from Illinois. And I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Patty F. from Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OAs as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and COA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of our press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. from Massachusetts. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 102. On the third paragraph that begins, many of us keep liquor in our homes, and ends ought to decide for ourselves, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And I'll now ask Kara L. to please begin reading.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Many of us keep liquor in our homes. We often need it to carry green recruits through and serve a severe hangover. Some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they are not alcoholic. But some of us think we should not serve liquor to anyone. We never argue this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. Good morning. This is Kara Allen, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Whew. Yes, I do keep my alcoholic foods in the house. I don't live alone. I have a family. I also cook it and serve it and don't eat it. And for me, that works. I have no comment on what works for you. I have no comment what works on for others. Most of the time, I just say, you know, as long as you've checked in with your higher power and that you have a strong connection with your higher power, I will go with intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And so for me today, that's what I do. You know, how am I able to do that? You know, have that neutrality. How can I have that all around me? How can I cook it, serve it? You know, well, it's because I have a power greater than myself that I turn to every day, that I work on a relationship every day, that I work these steps all day, every day, that I constantly invite God into every action I'm doing. You know, that's the way I can have this neutrality. That I can be of service to my family, that I can be of service to others around me. When I'm with controlling and dieting and trying to do everything myself, it was so hard. And today, it's easy. Later in the book, you know, we read earlier that I draw away from it today as if I touched a hot stove. I only get that if I'm in conscious contact with my higher power. If the when I walk into a space and there are foods that aren't my foods or there are alcoholic foods, I can say, God, give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. Help carry me through this. God, I invite you into this moment. And so I don't really make those decisions today. Today, I ask my higher power to guide and keep me and allow me to be in spiritual, physical, and mental condition so I can best serve. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. from California, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So who would like to share on what was read?
Wendy.
Chanel T.
Wendy. Somebody LT?
Chanel T.
Chanel, sorry.
No worries.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll get
Dayla,
started with Wendy.
Amy C.
I'm sorry.
Amy C.
Okay, Amy. Was there somebody else with Amy before Amy?
I thought Wendy.
Yeah, no, okay, right. So I have Wendy, Chanel, and Amy. Wendy, if you will tell us the first initial of your last name, and please share with us.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I just love these couple of sentences that say, we never argue this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. And I just love how in program, we don't dictate or try to control what other people do. You know, we each have autonomy and the responsibility to decide what's best for us. And, you know, and as a household, we come to an agreement. And, you know, in the area of food, you know, I can't forbid my other family members to not eat my trigger foods. You know, it'd be nice, you know, if we all had the same goals of eating only what's healthy for us, you know, for our bodies. But, you know, even the experts disagree on what that is. You know, some experts teach, you know, the benefits of a plant-based food plan like me, and, you know, others tout the benefits of an animal-based food plan like my husband. You know, and I think each body's different, you know, and we get to honor and respect each person's choices. And I think most of the experts agree that sugar and junk foods, you know, aren't healthy, but there's still a lot of healthier substitutes out there, you know, sweet things made with all natural ingredients that, you know, and I still can't eat those dessert type things, you know, because, you know, it still triggers me, you know, no matter what they're made out of, and makes me want to have more, you know, so I just have to be aware of my limits and say no, you know, as the rest of my family indulges. And they have restraint that I didn't have, you know, and it just really still amazes me, you know, to watch most of them say no when they're full, you know, I've had enough, you know, so that just confirms, you know, that they're not like me. And so I'm just so grateful that God has provided me with this fellowship, you know, of like-minded fellows who can identify with my struggle, you know, and I have the support I need to continue doing life with my family of normal eaters. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. And Chanel T., you're up, followed by Amy C.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. This is Chanel T. in Washington State, recovered and grateful compulsive eater. I'm both of those things today by the grace of God. You know, I have a couple of quick stories. Some of you have heard them before. Early, and it just gives a contrast with this. And this isn't even about keeping them in my home. Of course, keeping them in my home would be up to not just me, but my daughter, who is a teen, now is 18. She seems to be a normal eater. I don't get to decide for her whether she eats those things or not, right? I need to work my program so that I don't eat those things. So I'm not tempted by those things. I have two stories. One, early in recovery, I was sponsoring I was early in recovery. I went out and I got Brighton, my daughter, something special. It wasn't an occasion. I just felt it was special and I saw it and it was on sale, which is, you know, always a big deal to me. And I got it for her. And she turned her nose up to it and she said, "What? You know, I don't even like this." I'm like, "What are you talking about? It's really nice." So I started describing it to her. It's absolutely an alcoholic food for me. Absolutely. Said, "Oh, so you bought it for yourself?" "What? No, I bought it for you. My gosh, try some gratitude, dear." And she was like, "Mom, two things. One, I am old enough to go get that myself if I want it. And two, I've told you before, that is not my favorite of that type of thing. Not even close. Don't really like it. But thanks anyway." And I realized, oh my goodness, vicarious thrill. I bought that for her to somehow prove that, look, I can buy stuff for somebody and I'm fine. That's not okay for me. And I kind of still laugh about it today. It's a good reminder. Another time I was with a friend and her son has some, well, mild cognitive, but mostly physical disabilities. In and out of a place isn't always the easiest for him to speak up for himself. And he wanted to go in what for me is a crack house, a bakery. We were together hanging out and she didn't want to go in. And for whatever reason, I thought, well, let's ask if he wants me to go in with him. And I didn't. He said yes. And I was able to go in and get those things with him for him. I didn't touch them, but I saw them, I smelled them, and I was fine. Would I do that every day? No, thank you, I would not. Would I want to go on a baking spree for people? No, thank you, I would not. But if it were my profession, I believe God would protect me as long as I am doing it for the right reason, which it talks about in previous paragraphs, and most importantly, I'm in fit spiritual condition, which means what? I'm working all the steps every day as if my life depends on it. The only step I can do perfectly is one, but I'll tell you what, all the rest, God helps with God's grace. That's the way I look at it. Thank you, Sharon, I'll pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. And Amy C., please share with us.
Hello, I'm Amy C. from Texas. Can I be heard?
You can.
Okay, wanted to make sure I actually unmuted. So something the first person said reminded me that I need to be, sorry, my daughter, Roy, open that please. So it reminded me that I need to be in conscious contact with my higher power because I'm so abstinent that some of my behaviors around food have not been good as I'm getting clean from a final addiction in another program. So I'm healing all of my feelings all the time and learning that. And I thought, what would it look like if I prayed before I put anything in my mind, my mouth? Because something I have learned is that compulsive overeating and binging is impossible if I'm in conscious contact with God, because 100% He will convict me. And so I'm going to do that from now on. Anytime I'm about to put something into my mouth, I'm going to stop and pray. And if I know there's that little voice that goes, you shouldn't take a bite of that, it's not on your food plan for the day, you know, then I don't. Because we're higher powered. That's how I have to stay, is in conscious contact with my higher power, because I am weak. That's how I end up an addict, and God is my strength. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy C. And we are on page 102, the third paragraph that begins, many of us keep liquor in our homes and ends ought to decide for ourselves. Who else would like to share this morning?
Barbara E. in New Jersey.
Wendy
Barbara
M.
E. Wendy M.
Margaret O.
Margaret O. Anybody else? I have Barbara E., Wendy M., Margaret O. Lots of time.
Carolyn S.H.
Carolyn S.H. Okay, let's go with that lineup. Barbara E., you're up, followed by Wendy M.
Good morning, my family, and thank you so much for your service. I always get nuggets of gold when I listen to other people. I remember reading, if you're not in a fit spiritual condition, don't go into sordid places like bakeries or ice cream stores or anything like that. But if I am in fit spiritual condition, I really go in with armor also around me, and I don't even look at it. But I know if my program is in green, it becomes overripe and rotting. And a flower seed needs sunlight and water and nutrients to grow and vigilance to keep the weeds from strangling the sprouts. And all these efforts take hard work. Staying abstinence is hard work. Losing weight is hard work. Honesty and courage is hard work. And being truthful to myself and others is hard work. But for me, just for me, everything that is worthwhile in my life has been hard work before it becomes easy. But forgetting to do the hard work can be easy too. So I go to a meeting every single day without fail, sometimes two. And when it's a Zoom meeting, I keep my camera on so I know I won't be eating while listening to your words of wisdom. And for me, fear can be excessive sadness and self-pity can lead me to emotional binging, and emotional binging can lead me to the food. So I have to think of fear as face everything and recover, not fear everything and run. And some days one of those types of fears will be dominant, fear of failure, rejection, making a mistake. So instead of sinking down into the mud, I make a phone call to another member and say, how's your day been? How's your program going? Would you like to talk anything? Or I call someone over on the West Coast if I'm feeling like eating at night. And I say, you know what? I need a little help. It's 10 o'clock here, but it's 7 o'clock there where you are. Do you have some time? And 9 out of 10 times they say, I do. And that's what it is. We're a program that's inclusive, not exclusive. And that's why it always says, welcome home. And I love that slogan, welcome home. Because I know one of the slogans that you never hear in OA is, figure it out on your own. I need help. And the great mystery source of wisdom that wants me well will help me to listen and rejoice and know that I'm not a failure if I fail. It's just an opportunity for a life lesson. It's not a dead end. It might be a detour, but I can always pick up and start all over again. So this is a program of wash, rinse, rinse, and repeat. Thank you, everyone. I look forward to your shares. Have a great day.
Thank you, Barbara E. And Wendy M., you're up, followed by Margaret O. Wendy? Wendy M., press star 1. We can't hear you.
Okay, great. I'll try it again. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Yes.
Great. All right, let's do it. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, moderator, and everybody on the line. The share is always excellent. So, you know, I like to think of this idea that the program is about abundance, not deprivation. And probably the first, 24 years of me being in this program, it was absolutely white knuckling. My knuckles were tight because I was holding on and being a good girl and I was compliant and I was deprivating, right? But it's abundance. Why is it abundance? Well, let's see. With concepts like your life is none of my business, your food is none of my business. My life is none of my business. Like, what are we talking about? My hobby before was focused on my food, your life, my life. And that was my hobby, right? So now we get to be freed up. This is all about freedom, right? Because I'm neutral with food, right? My son has all of my happy foods. They're not no longer happy. My post favorite foods, right? My ex boyfriends, in the form of flour and sugar, and I not only don't want them, I don't even stare at them. I don't even look at them. It's, you know, we get neutrality. It says we're safe and protected. And what do I get from that? How do I get to that state? As it was just said, we work the 12 steps, right? We uncover, discover, and discard my stuff, my Wendy, my, you know, defects of character. And when we do that, we get freedom. Like, this doesn't just come. I don't just notice that my ex-boyfriends, which are in the, in the pantry, are my, I no longer attend to them or notice them or want to call them. You know, it's not that. It's just when we work the program, this thing happens. God graces us with this freedom, the cease fighting. And it's not just cease fighting, you know, my life, it's cease fighting your life and cease fighting you. We're no longer in the debating society, right? And the beautiful note is, I don't know. I just know that these are the foods I can't have, right? Or these really are the foods I surrender to God, because it's not about I can't have them anymore, because I'm still white knuckling then. I'm still being a good girl, holding on tight, being good, deprivation, etc. But this is abundance. We enter God's world by taking these 12 steps. We get abundance. We get freedom beyond our recognition, beyond what we absolutely, I couldn't even possibly imagine the world that God is giving me. And it's not just a healthy body weight, right? It's not just eating, quote, the foods that, you know, give me peace and give me calm, right? It's how I treat you. OA is about how I treat people, not just the ex-boyfriends in the closet that are called bagels and tortillas. That's not what we're doing here, right? It's not about chopping up the vegetables. It's about a complete and utter transformation of yourself. I tell my sponsees, you will no longer recognize yourself. Thank God. You know, so it's how we treat the food. That's just the beginning, you know? And is it my business what you eat? Absolutely not. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado, and Margaret O., you're up, followed by Carolyn S.H.
Good morning. This is Margaret O., recovered in Connecticut. Thank you, moderator, for your service and everyone who's doing service for the month of June to make this meeting possible. Great paragraph. You know, what springs to mind, I'm on day 43 of my abstinence, and you know, there was a hospitalization stage that my sponsor had talked about, you know, where at the beginning, you know, you can't really go out to restaurants or, I mean, this was just for me. Everyone's different. Go on a trip where I'm, you know, at the mercy of whatever menu might be available. So that's something that I definitely honor. And I have the wonderful luxury of living alone, so I don't have any alcoholic foods in my pantry, and it's kind of nice not to have them there, you know, but I guess it would be a good test if they were there and I had to serve them to people, so my hat's off to those who have to do that. But, you know, it really, for me, it's rigorous honesty. I mean, I have pared back my food plan now that I've been weighing and measuring. I mean, it used to be, I've been in OA since 1998, but I've only been in Vision. It'll be 2 years, July 4th, Independence Day. And I used to be able to have like popcorn, which is a red light food, at movie theaters and then go home and be fine. Or chips at a Mexican restaurant. You cannot have them in the house, but just have them when I go out. I can't do that now. It triggers me. And now that I'm weighing and measuring, I have more clarity in my body. I'm more in tune with my body responses to these things, and especially my mental responses to these things. These are like the small repetitive foods, like hand to mouth, you know. But, you know, like I say, everyone's different. But even now, I prefer to eat at home than to eat out. It's almost a hardship to have to order off a menu because I have, like the previous person said, Wendy M., abundance in my food. When I go out, I never get enough veggies, you know, and I get way more carbs than I want. But, you know, it's, I just turn it over. I look ahead on the menu, you know, as we all do this, and try to plan as best I can. And then I say a prayer, you know, Lord, this is yours. And I'm going to order and enjoy this company and be of service and have that be the purpose for my participating. And I'm asking you for my abstinence. I do that every morning. I turn my abstinence over to you and I thank you. So it's in his hands. And, you know, I have to ask him to remove my fears and my character defects. It's all in God's hands. I have to stand back. So, yeah, that's all I really have to share. So thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Margaret O. and from Connecticut. And Carolyn S.H., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Carolyn S.H. in Massachusetts. And I haven't shared on this line in a long time. I tend to use this, whether foods in my home that are not on my green light list, I tend to use my relationship to them kind of as a gauge of my spiritual fit condition or not. And I didn't realize I was doing this, but it's actually been very helpful. About 3-4 weeks ago had a small gathering, and I served something that was previously on what I would call my yellow light list, but for health reasons and with guidance and working with someone in the program, I had actually put it back on my green light list because of excess weight loss and things like that. And things had been going well, and it wasn't speaking to me. But then gradually, you know, kind of like the lobster in the pot, I didn't realize it was getting to be a slippery slope. And at that party, I found myself eating it very mindlessly with people because they were eating it, because I served it. And so the next day, I reached out to a recovered person and dove back into the steps and revisited, reworked my alcoholic food list and took it back out because I am way away from being in danger of losing too much weight now. That fear has passed. And so what I'm saying is I make all these changes not in isolation. And for a while, that food is out of my house now because it all went bad. But I kept it, and it wasn't speaking to me. It's so interesting that I feel like once I've done the steps and am living in step 10, 11, and 12 and reached being recovered at one point, whether I evaluate myself being there every day or not, coming back to that state, I feel like I'm graced with that pretty easily. So I kept that food in my fridge for a while because I didn't know if I was going to have more people over again, and I didn't need it, I didn't want it, and I knew that I wanted connection with higher power and I wanted peace much more than anything else. So that neutrality came back very quickly, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just am so appreciative of the language in this book, and I am not timing myself. I'm so sorry. So it's probably almost up, but the language in this book, of the clarity with which the author and the 100 authors speak, with which our experience as addicts, my experience as an addict, and how I can live focused on my higher power. All right, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn S.H. from Massachusetts. And we have quite a bit more time on the clock. We are on page 102 in the chapter Working with Others. We have read the third paragraph that begins, many of us keep liquor in our homes, and ends, ought to decide for ourselves. Who else would like to share this morning?
Gayla.
A-C.
Laura, that was... Okay, did I hear Vanessa?
Rebecca J.G.
Rebecca.
Gayla S., California.
Okay, Gayla and somebody L.
Michelle A.C. in Colorado.
Okay, I'm still missing Nancy. I got you.
Nancy L., yeah.
No, oh, it's also AC. Nancy L.
Oh. Yes.
Who is A.C.?
Michelle.
Michelle A.C. Okay, all right. Let me tell you who I have. I have Rebecca, Laura W., Gayla, Nancy L., and Michelle A.C., and if you all will remind me of the first initial of your last name when you get up to share. Rebecca, you're up, followed by Laura W.
Good morning, and hopefully all can hear me. This is Rebecca J.G. from Washington State, and I'm so happy to be here this morning. Thank you for the reading about alcoholic foods and all the shares. So I also have two of my children in my home. One is 17, one is 21. And of course, my 21-year-old, she buys her own food and brings it in. And my 17-year-old doesn't eat as much. He's pretty flexible. So I don't really have to worry too much about his food. And I have done a complete sweep of the pantry. But my 21-year-old, every once in a while, she does bring food into the house that are red light foods for me. And because I started working the steps with my sponsor and believe in a power greater than myself, when I see those foods, the first thing I remember is only today. You have today. You can make it today. And I also remember my higher powers, the words from my higher power, which is God, is we're only promised today. We're not promised tomorrow. And so I constantly remind myself of that in order to get through and get over and beyond those alcoholic foods so they're not a stumbling block for myself. And so that's really how I'm able to overcome. And then because I don't want to push my will onto my children, I don't believe in, you know, shaming anyone about what they eat. I would never do that to my children. And so I figure I'm an example, so let me go ahead and be that example to them. And if they see it, great. If they don't see it, that's okay as well, because it's beyond me anyway. And so I'm so happy to be here. My first OA meeting was May 7th, and I was able to get a really great sponsor on May 30th, and we are working the steps. And I'm just grateful and appreciative. And I just want to say, everyone, have a wonderful day. Thank you for allowing me to share today.
Thank you, Rebecca J.G. from Washington, for your share. And Laura W., you're up, followed by Gayla.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. from Chicago, Illinois. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I really, really like the message of this paragraph. In OA, it reminds me of a really clear abstinence plan. I heard a speaker, and I've now heard it more and more in vision, where instead of just saying entire abstinence, people are saying clear and entire abstinence. And it reminds me that I need to be clear about my abstinence plan. And I relapsed during COVID. And I believe the reason I relapsed is I was trying to follow an abstinence plan that belonged to my sponsor, to someone else. And I was not paying enough attention to my behaviors. There's many people in the program who the behaviors around food are not as important to them as the substances they put in their mouths. They're very addicted to certain substances. But many of us, especially those of us who've experienced bulimia and anorexia, and compulsive overeaters too, and so many of us have experienced all three. But in my case, in my abstinence plan, I have to be very clear about my behaviors around food. And I always think to myself, if someone knew how I ate today, what my behaviors were around food, would I be proud of the way I behaved? If they saw the ingredients that I put in my mouth, that I bought at the store, that I picked at a restaurant to eat, would I be proud? Would I be proud of myself that they saw that I had eaten that and they knew, well, this is a person who's taking care of herself? So my clear and entire abstinence. And yes, I can have food in my house that I don't eat, and I can have other people practice behaviors that I don't do. As I'm getting stronger and stronger in recovery, I see that. And as I sponsor, I see the importance of having an open mind and making sure that people are clear about their abstinence plan before they start going into 100% abstinence or entire abstinence, because sometimes those are diet terms and trigger terms that make people just restrict. And so anyways, that's my takeaway, and I really appreciate the shares today. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura W. from Illinois. And Gayla, you're up, if you'll remind us of the first initial of your last name, followed by Nancy L. I thought I heard Gayla press star one. I could have gotten that wrong.
This is Gayla from Southern California, Gayla S. Yes, I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you to those giving service and just your presence and our hearts and minds being together here. Yeah, this reading is helpful to me. I remember years ago when I was newer in program and I have had young children, and my brother came to visit. And I requested that he not bring any sweets, anything like that, into the house. Well, what do you know? He brought an apple pie. And I remember that at that point in my efforts to be abstinent, I was more filled with fear than with faith, and I just had not probably worked all the steps at that point. And it was a big mistake. It didn't work. It didn't work for our relationship. It didn't work for my children being aware of what had happened. He resisted. It became rather messy and not nice between us. So I learned a lesson in that. Certainly in life we set boundaries. That particular boundary didn't work. And I have a son whose love language is food. He loves to bring food and it's all okay. It's just I'm more relaxed. I'm happier. I'm freer today than I was back then. And I can be gracious. It always amuses me and others, too, when we have church gatherings and we have a big spread of pies and cakes and cookies and the prayer is offered. We ask you to bless this food that it will give us nourishment and strength. Well, those aren't the healthiest foods, but that's part of our culture, too. So acceptance really helps. when I entertain in our home, we can offer foods that are red light foods for me. I can abstain from those, but I also offer fruit alongside of the things that have ingredients that I cannot eat. So live and learn. I'm thankful for this reading and the thought it provokes. I don't do well myself, but maybe never will, in making sweet foods, being in the kitchen and measuring, and that BLT, little bites and little licks and little tastes, that doesn't work for me. That, so someone else can make those things. I can measure out ingredients, and my husband can stir them up and finish the product. So I think part of it, too, is knowing our own limits and things that steer us off course. And with that, I'll pass. Many thanks.
Thank you, Gayla S. from California, and Nancy L. Maybe if you have 2 minutes, we can give some time to Michelle A.C. Nancy, please share with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, moderator, and welcome, newcomers. I'm Nancy L., recovered in Arizona. For years and years, I worked like many of us do outside the home, and I used to have such a fear. How on earth, when it's time to retire, how on earth am I ever going to retire and be around the kitchen all day? It was just a heavy fear on me. And, you know, as the years went by, I knew I can't work forever, but I found program. And so I was so grateful. I've been recovered for a long time. I retired in 2014, and I live with my wonderful husband, who's not a food addict. And he's very gracious and kind about his stuff, but he has his stuff here in the house. And when he's gone, nothing calls to me. Nothing calls to me that's not my food anymore. I'm very grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. from Arizona. And Michelle A.C., please share with us.
Hi, it's Michelle A.C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. This paragraph really spoke to me because it reminded me about how much I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what other people are supposed to do. Like, I don't know. And I do know who knows, though, right? My higher power knows. And for me, that's the opposite of faith in my higher power would be certainty that I knew things. So faith looks to me like even my own business, I don't know the answer to, so I'm going to pray and be guided. And therefore, how could I possibly tell somebody else what they should do? And it also reminded me that the food's really just a symptom. This whole thing is about my connection to my higher power. So to be fixing, managing, and controlling somebody else's relationship to food feels to me like that's the disease. And if I give them the dignity of choice and a relationship with their higher power, then they get to go about their business seeking faith instead of certainty too. And so it just felt to me like a huge, I don't know what, billboard that says, you don't know. And I just love being reminded of that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle A.C. from Colorado. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Chanel T., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And so keep you until then.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.